like to reconvene the September 29th, 2020 Marine Resources Commission meeting to order. At this time, I will call the roll. Mr. France?
Here.
Mr. Tankard?
Here.
Mr. Zedrin? Absent. Dr. Neal? Dr. Neal? Mr. Ballard?
Here.
Mr. Minor?
Here.
Ms. Lusk? Ms. Lusk? Ms. Everett?
Here.
Was that Ms. Lusk?
That was Ms. Lusk.
That was Ms. Lusk and then Ms. Everett.
Ms. Everett.
Okay, got it. Dr. Neal?
I'm here.
Oh.
Dr. Neal.
Gotcha. And Mr. Minor?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, sir. We will now proceed with the remainder of the agenda. The next item on the agenda is Bettina Essert, number 20-0462. Who'll be handling this case?
This is Allison Lay again.
Ms. Lay, proceed, please.
All right, so Bettina Essert is requesting authorization to construct approximately 100 linear feet of concrete mat and stone sill with 440 cubic yards of sand fill with native wetland plantings, two core logs, and a 12-foot by 80-foot concrete boat ramp adjacent to property along the Indian River in the city of Chesapeake. And this project will require a tidal wetlands permit as well as a Sebaquias permit. Next slide. This map shows the location of the project on the Indian River in the city of Chesapeake. Next slide. This is an aerial view of the project site. It's kind of a little point that comes out into the river. Next slide. This is a plan view drawing of the project. The sill is highlighted in yellow, and it will be placed near the mean low water line, and sand fill with native plantings will be placed behind it. A boat ramp, which is shown in the orange highlighter, is proposed to be constructed at the point parallel to the proposed statutorily authorized pier. And a bulkhead is also proposed to be constructed, but it is outside of the Wetlands Board's jurisdiction. Next slide. These are cross-section drawings of the project. At the top is the proposed boat ramp. The boat ramp is proposed to be 12 feet wide and 80 feet long and will impact vegetated and non-vegetated wetlands as well as submerged lands. The bottom drawing shows the proposed sill, sand fill, plantings, and bulkhead. Again, the bulkhead will be constructed outside of jurisdictional wetlands. Next slide. This photo shows the existing pier. The boat ramp is proposed to be constructed to the right side of the pier. This pier will also be replaced at the same location, and that work is statutorily authorized. Next slide. This photo shows the western part of the project. You can see the existing wetlands as well as some of the bank erosion that's happening in this area. Next slide. This is another view of the western part of the project showing, again, the wetland vegetation and the erosion. Next slide. Further down on the property, you can see that the wetlands start to have a more gentle slope up into the uplands. Next slide. The application had originally proposed the sill to extend to this area of the property. However, the plans have been revised. Next slide. And this is another view of the eastern side of the property. Next slide. And then one last view of the eastern side of the property. Next slide. So the proposed impacts from this project, I broke into two parts. The first is impacts from the sill. 510 square feet of non-vegetated wetland will be converted to riprap. 190 square feet of submerged land will be converted to riprap. And 1,200 square feet of non-vegetated wetlands will be converted to vegetated wetlands. The second impact is from the concrete boat ramp. And for that one, 275 square feet of vegetated wetlands will be impacted. 204 square feet of non-vegetated wetlands will be impacted, and 395 square feet of submerged lands will be impacted. And for the submerged land impacts from the boat ramp specifically, there would be a royalty at a rate of 50 cents per square foot, which would come out to a total of $197.50. Next slide. So the applicant offered some justification for the impacts. They state that the closest boat ramp is at the Jordan Bridge in the city of Norfolk, and that the owner has several smaller vessels that they want to be able to launch at their property. The applicant reduced the width of the boat ramp from 14 feet to 12 feet, and they are proposing to create 388 square feet of vegetated wetlands on site to mitigate for impacts to vegetated and non-vegetated wetlands from construction of the boat ramp. Next slide. The proposed sill with sand fill and native plantings is considered a living shoreline and is the preferred shoreline erosion control method for the Commonwealth of Virginia. However, the proposed boat ramp will impact vegetated wetlands, and staff believes that this impact could be avoided. Although the nearest public boat ramp is approximately a four-mile drive from the property, staff believes that the impact to vegetated wetlands is not appropriate for the construction of a boat ramp. The proposed pier and boat lift can be used for boat mooring to reduce the number of times boats would be taken in and out of the water. Accordingly, after evaluating the merits of the project and considering all of the factors contained in 28.2-1200 and 28.2-1302-10B of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends approval of the sill with sand fill and native wetland plantings, but denial of the boat ramp. And that concludes my presentation. I'll take any questions at this time.
Thank you, Ms. Lay. Excuse me. Are any members of the commission wish to ask Ms. Lay any questions? Is the applicant present or represented? I have a Richard Calvert listed as the agent. Mr. Calvert, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Yes, sir. Would you like to address the commission, please?
Yes, sir. Good afternoon, Mr. Bowman and commission members. This is Richard Calvert with Calvert Marine. I'm the agent representing Bettina Essert on this project. I'll go right to the boat ramp. The owner would like to go ahead and try and put a boat ramp in at this property. We tried to look for alternate locations on the property, but the wetlands pretty much go around the perimeter of the property. So at any point that we would want to have access to the water, we would be impacting them. So then we moved to try and do what we could to try and compensate for the area going through the wetlands by creating new wetlands on site to compensate for the loss of the vegetated and non-vegetated wetlands that we would be impacting by the new ramp. The owner just really is emphatic about trying to get access to the water behind their property. As we mentioned, the closest boat ramp is over at the Jordan Bridge, which is 4 miles by car, but it's 6 miles by water. And it goes through the most horrendous marine industrial area and a complete no-wake zone the entire way, which would almost get you about an hour to an hour and a half by the time you launch and come back to your own property just to fish and use the recreational area behind your house. Seems quite a long way to go for this. So we really like to just try and have access for most of the access is for smaller boats. They actually have a 22-foot center console, a 19-foot skiff, a 15-foot pelican, two kayaks, and a small John boat. The actual lift on the pier is for a larger boat that probably will not be able to use the ramp. So the access is for the smaller boats and that they can use for their own private recreational use. An effort to try and make this a better project, too, we also included an additional 1,200 square feet of non-vegetated wetlands that we converted to vegetated wetlands and created a sill over on the property. Second reason for this is also to see how this would perform in the future. It's our intention to come back in and do some wetland planning after this project is completed, which we call phase one. But at this time, the budget of it was just beyond what we could do with the cost that we were increased for all the improvements at this time. The phase two could also be done under a group two living shoreline permit, too, if we wanted to come in and stabilize the marsh after completion. Other than that, I take any questions that you may have. We'd like to do anything we can to try and get this ramp in. I know that sometimes the commission has favored using pavers on a ramp. If that makes any impact whatsoever, we'd certainly look at something like that. We decreased the size down to 12 foot wide, which is pretty much governed by the trailer. And pretty much that is the extent of what I can offer in regards to the boat lift. And if you have any questions, I'll be certainly glad to answer them at this time.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Calvert. Any members of the commission have a question for Mr. Calvert?
Commissioner Bowman, Christy Everett.
Yes, Ms. Everett. Proceed, please.
Thank you. I guess, Mr. Calvert, when you mentioned that they don't want to travel the 6 miles by water from the Jordan Bridge ramp because it's industrial, wouldn't they be going through that anyway, even if they had their own ramp?
Only if they'll be going out to the open water. If they want a boat behind their house and kayak in that area in Indian River, it wouldn't require them to do that. That's the only point they're trying to make, that the larger boat that's going in the lift would be the one that would be taking that trip out if they're going to go out into open water. But they like to just mess around back and behind their own house doing kayaking and other stuff like that.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else have a question for Mr. Calvert?
Chad Ballard.
Proceed, Mr. Ballard, please.
I'm sorry, the list of boats is escaping me, but were there any thoughts to trying to moor those along the pier? Is there enough space to try and keep those and launch the kayaks from the pier?
Yeah, Mr. Ballard, one side of the pier is pretty shallow back behind the tee. The other side is where they planned on putting the ramp. I imagine that you could be using that for a couple of the vessels, but they would still like to maintain access through there. And they've gone at great lengths to try and compensate on site for any impact that they've had.
Commissioner Bowman, I have one more question.
Proceed, Ms. Everett.
Thank you. So this is a living shoreline, but I notice on the drawing page six, there is a new vinyl bulkhead as part of it. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So, and that might be, for example, a reason it wouldn't be group two. It seems like it's more of the a hybrid soft and hardened shoreline, if I'm understanding correctly.
Yes, ma'am. I was referring to if they came in after the fact and wanted to do a sill and fill in the marsh between the proposed bulkhead and the existing wetlands, that perhaps they could use a group two to enhance that area. That's all I was trying to refer to.
Okay, thank you.
Further questions of Mr. Calvert by members of the commission? Okay, I have a Bettina Essert. The applicant has signed in and wishes to speak. Ms. Essert, are you there? Yes, ma'am. Proceed.
Okay, thank you. I would like to speak first to the information, the route from the Jordan Bridge to where our pier is located. In order for us to get, say, to the bay, if we wanted to go to open water, we would not have to boat through those industrial areas. The Navy Yard, BAE, all of those things are in a different branch of the river. and we would be coming out through a couple of small shipyards on Waterside. So we do actually get to avoid most of those huge industrial shipyards on the way out toward the bay. Secondly, I just want to say we really want to preserve this piece of land and the shoreline. You can see that we've had a lot of erosion. We lost a lot of land as it is already. Our goal is really to do the best we can for these wetlands and also and the shoreline of the river, as well as provide enjoyment for ourselves and access for us to be able to use our boats in the river. The problem with mooring our boats or tying them to the pier is theft. Every time we leave a boat tied to this pier, things get stolen out of it. And not just like a fishing pole or a life preserver. People have come in and stripped the seats out of their boats. They've stolen motors off of boats. It's a huge problem. I guess we'll call it piracy on the river. But that really does make it impossible to leave our boats tied to this pier for more than a day. And I want to thank Mr. Calvert. And that's it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, ma'am. Any questions of Ms. Esser? I guess I have one pertaining to the boat ramp that Mr. Calvert brought up about the remediation and the living shoreline. You said after the fact, Mr. Calvert, that, you know, y'all may consider coming back. What would trigger that to make you decide to come back and do it should this project be approved?
Are you addressing the question to Mr. Calvert? Or
I was. I did because he's the one that proffered it.
Yes.
Hold on. Mr. Calvert, did you hear my question?
Yes, I did, Commissioner. I'll try and address that.
Please.
We originally started out with a sill around the perimeter of the property and planning enhancement around the perimeter as well. And then the pricing came in for that item, and it almost exceeded what the bulkhead cost was. So at that point, we are trying to just stabilize the land now and stop the heavy erosion and the loss of property and address that problem. We believe that it's also because right now the contractors are very, very busy. This is the sill work would have to be done by barge exclusively. And we're hopeful that we can come in the future and try and do some planning to help stabilize the areas of the existing wetlands. And that's all we were trying to do is try and do what we could to help the existing wetlands, but the cost prohibited us from going all the way around. So we wanted to try and do this one area and see how it worked in the climate out there on the site and then make our decision on what the future planning would be and what the how involved it would be.
Okay. Is this boat ramp out of the sight of neighbors?
Yes, sir, I believe so.
Ms. Esser?
I would imagine that perhaps the overhead picture might lend a better picture than that. But I believe that it's not very exposed to the general public.
I believe I'm unmuted again. Yes, the boat ramp is out of sight of any immediate neighbors except for the people directly across the river.
Okay. Further questions of Mr. Calvert or Ms. Essert by members of the commission? All right, thank you. Is there anyone else in support of this project? Is there anyone in opposition to this project? Thank you. The matter is before the commission for discussion and action.
Commissioner Bowman, may I ask a question of staff?
You may always ask a question of staff. Yes, ma'am. Proceed.
Thank you. I do think that this is a pretty tough one. I feel for the applicant and the issues that she's facing with vandalism and things like that. I guess the question is, could that boat lift be, I'm sorry, could the ramp be done in a way that impacts less wetlands? I think the avoidance to me, I think, is, you know, primary focus here, because if you try to create them, they're just not going to probably function the same way that the existing ones do. So I think that recreation isn't a one-for-one, but I guess my question to staff is there a way to do it where there are less impacts, or that's already been minimized to the extent possible?
Thank you. Ms. Lay, do you want to answer that, or you want someone else from staff? You got it covered?
Yeah.
Okay.
So when I was reviewing this application, I did ask the applicant to consider minimizing the boat ramp to the greatest extent possible, and that's when we got in the revision that they felt they could do with it being 12 feet wide instead of 14 feet wide, which did reduce the impact to the vegetated wetlands. I don't know if they would be comfortable minimizing it beyond that.
Can we have that picture up again?
And as far as making it out of pavers versus concrete, there would still be that initial impact to the vegetated wetlands. It may allow more vegetated wetlands to grow through the pavers, but we can't say for sure. We'd still have to look at the impact from the application at that time, not what could happen in the future.
Okay. Mr. Johnson, can you show us that picture of where the boat ramp would go in again, please? Right? No, I'd like the ground shot a little bit better if you could, please. Okay. Further questions? The matter's before the commission for action, and I will just say that I feel for the applicant as well, having been in both regular and marine law enforcement, nothing worse than somebody to pilfer off of your boat in an area that you can't secure. I'm like Ms. Everett. This is a tough one. I wish there was some guarantee or some way to guarantee that we could repair, replace, or otherwise do something with the wetlands that would be lost that are there in a manner that is satisfactory to the commission. I'll just throw that out there for discussion.
Commissioner Bowman.
Yes, ma'am.
I guess to your question there, to your suggestion, would it be possible to kind of increase the monitoring, and if there isn't the quality and function of the recreated wetlands that make up for or compensate what was lost, additional measures be taken, or is that a level of complexity that might be beyond the ability for staff to follow up?
Well, it's kind of tough to monitor. Are you talking about the wetlands mitigation bank possibility as well, or anything, or just?
No, I think just on site, but I guess my thought is that do we have any promise that the wetlands that they would plant to compensate for the loss would actually perform as those existing? And I can't see from the picture if that's Phragmites or if it's high quality functioning marsh. Some site, portions of the site look very healthy, but can't totally tell what you're actually losing versus what you could.
Yeah. Okay. I'll ask boots on the ground, Allison Lay, to tell us what it looks like.
Yeah, so there is some Phragmites on site in the upper portions of the wetland towards the uplands, but in the area of where the boat ramp will be placed, there is some Spartina alterniflora, and it appears to be a very healthy marsh, fringe marsh, located around the property.
Hmm. Any other comments by members of the commission related to that?
Commissioner Bowman, I'll put one out there. I'm not sure if it's helpful or not, but I guess I would feel much more comfortable supporting the boat ramp, knowing that the owner, which seems to have a commitment to keep this as good habitat and a healthy buffer, but to really kind of be the ultimate steward of the site to help areas. It's a large piece of land, lots of opportunity for marsh creation and protection, but I guess to me, I may be willing to support the proposal, but just knowing that the owner really would care for existing wetlands to the utmost extent possible. Not sure if that's helpful in the form of this question, but that's where my brain is.
I understand. I feel the same way. I mean, you know, looking at this, we've seen situations where you had marshes like this, and although it's not a violation of the law, I think it ought to be. You go out there and mow it, and you do this and you do that. It seems to me that this has been maintained, as you were saying, in a very pristine manner. And, you know, it's a tough balance. This is one of those ones you look at and you say, well, we're not supposed to do, you know, what should we do? And you can just say, well, by God, we're going to do this, or well, by God, we're going to do that, without any thought. But if you think, at least in my perspective, if you think through it, as what they're asking for, why they're asking for, I was really compelled by the fact that, and anybody that lives on the water's had stuff stolen off of their boat, which is trifling as can be. I haven't had seats stolen out of my boat, but, you know, but I feel for the applicant in this scenario as far as if you look at the grand scheme of all the marsh that's out there, and as you said, Ms. Everett, all the marsh that has the potential to be created. And I think Ms. Essert, although I can't look her in the eye, it seems to me that by looking at the land from an aerial view and looking at other things, that she intends to keep this place looking like we would want it to look from an environmental perspective. If I'm wrong, you know, it won't be the first time, but I just in my gut feel like that she intends well. So with that, the matter's before the commission. I'm sorry? I don't know. That's closed at this point. Matter's before the commission.
This is Dr. Neal. I guess I have a question concerning the pavers of the boat ramp. If we allow the ramp, would staff be more comfortable with pavers over concrete?
Allison, Lay?
I think we would view them pretty similarly in this situation.
That's okay.
I'm not sure.
Okay. Mr. Watkinson, you there?
Yes, sir, Mr. Commissioner. I think the pavers provide some benefit. There would be open voids between the paver blocks to allow for some infiltration of water and potentially some growth of vegetation. But as Allison has alluded to, that's speculation at best that it would revegetate, especially if it gets used a lot. I don't know that it would. So I think it's some marginal benefit, that would be preferable, I suppose, but to the extent that it is replacing what was there or allows what was there to be mitigated for, I'd say that it's not a complete equalization of exchange.
Okay. Further questions?
Yeah, Tankard, I do have one further question.
Mr.
Tankard? We mentioned the size of the property. Exactly how much property were you looking at? Do we have any sense of that? Maybe it was in the literature and I missed it.
I think the applicant would be the appropriate person to answer that question. Ms. Essert, how much property do you have there, ma'am?
We have about 18 acres.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Further questions? Chair will entertain a motion.
I make a motion, Ed Tankard.
What's the motion, Mr. Tankard?
And the motion will be to approve both dock and boat ramp as proposed by the applicant.
I'll second the motion, Chrissy Everett.
And Mr. Everett, yes, second.
I don't mean to interrupt, but I would ask that Mr. Tankard just clarify if that includes the sill and fill and plantings as well. I assume it did.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry. I put it in too few words there. Thank you very much.
You clear on that, Mr. Watkinson?
Yes, sir.
I have a motion made. I'm sorry. I got a motion by Mr. Tankard, second by Ms. Everett. Further discussion.
Commissioner Bowman, may I just add a comment to my motion as
yes,
well?
Yes, ma'am. If you can, you're the seconder of the motion, so we'll let you and Mr. Tankard work through this, but go ahead.
Yeah. I just wanted to echo the sentiments that you relayed and articulated and, I think the context of this is important, that there's a lot of potential. Obviously, we heard how much acreage. It's a really incredible opportunity, and hopefully with this latitude and over time, we'll see this property only improve in terms of value and function as wetlands. So I just wanted to add that context to my action.
Yes, staff has reminded me that we don't want to have any net loss of wetlands, so I'm hoping that net loss of wetlands will be recouped in a very short order. So, thank you, Ms. Everett. Motion made, second. Call the roll. Mr. France? Mr. France?
Yes, no.
Mr. France?
No.
Mr. Tankard?
Aye.
Dr. Neal?
Aye.
Mr. Ballard?
Aye.
Mr. Minor?
Aye.
Ms. Lusk?
Aye.
Ms. Everett?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion passes. Thank you all very much for your presentation.